everyone, and welcome to Live Life the Conscious Way Telesummit. I'm Diane Marie, founder of Authentic Clarity Coaching, and your host for this telesummit. I'm just so excited to be bringing you all the wonderful experts that have joined on with this telesummit, and everyone that has been, interviewed so far is just giving you a wealth of, just secrets and golden nuggets that they have used throughout their life to really bring them to where they are today. Now, all of us seem to be in a hurry to get where we want to be, but it's a step-by-step-by-step process, and trusting and having faith and being clear and being focused are all very important things. But when you live life the conscious way, you're really making decisions that align with your authentic truth. And, so often we are doing things that maybe we think we should do, or we are making decisions based on what somebody else has told us we should do. But it's really getting in touch with your inner self, your higher self, and aligning with your authentic truth. And the experts have been giving you all kinds of wonderful tips and secrets in order to do that. Now, most of the experts I've had on so far have been women, and I'm so pleased to introduce to you today a gentleman that is just, you'll find out for your own self. I mean, it is, I'm blown away by him. So let me introduce him. His name is Bill Bauman. He is a PhD, a noted trainer, a speaker, a motivator, and an empowerer of people. He has served as a priest, a psychotherapist, a psychological consultant, a seminar leader, a business entrepreneur, a peace advocate, and a spiritual visionary of life's possibilities. Through decades of inspiring presentations, seminars, workshops, classes, retreats, and counseling, he has brought a dynamic message of hope and excitement about life's possibilities into our shared human consciousness. Bill is one of the simplest people you'll ever meet. He just is. From his core selflessness, he offers us an expansive and inspired vision, and he lovingly serves our personal growth. He is the voice of a pure truth, one that is sourced beyond beliefs, complexities, or codes of conduct. With a doctorate in counseling, counseling psychology, an MA in theology, and a bachelor's degree in philosophy, Bill embraces life from a broad perspective and expansive vision. Thousands of people have attended Bill's seminars on personal empowerment, dynamic leadership, love and relationships, spiritual growth, and empowered healing, which he has led nationally and internationally since the early 1980s. Having served humanity for many decades, Bill embraces a holistic perspective of what it means to be human. He has developed his own paradigm of complete human living that he calls the ultimate human. To experience Bill is to be touched at the depths of your heart, to feel alive in your soul, and to see yourself as God sees you. Bill has become a noted modern practical mystic, and his transforming mystical vision touches thousands. I am so happy to bring you Bill Bauman today. Bill, are you with us?
I certainly am, Diane. My goodness, and I'm really interested in meeting this person. He sounds very interesting. I do want to say I am so delighted to be here. Just to all of you who are listening, Diane and I talked a little bit briefly before this, and I let her know that when I received this invitation from her to speak with you, everything in me, everything without any exception, just screamed out a big yes. So I just want to, first of all, thank you, Diane, for this very precious invitation. And I want to just let all of you know who are here that I'm here because I feel like something really big, some part of our shared spirit just called us together. And I'm just honored to be in service of you during this time.
Well, I am so just very honored myself, Bill, that you said yes. And, you know, so many times, you know, you have done so much work out in the communities and internationally as well. And I know you must get, you know, hundreds of invitations. So I am truly honored that this resonated with you. I know you have a yeah. wealth of information to give to the listeners today, so I don't want to waste any of your precious time. Tell the listeners a little bit more about your background and how you came about developing the ultimate human. That's so interesting to me.
Yes, I wish we had about 10 hours. I would be delighted to do that. I feel like I started life very much like everybody, pretty much in the hole. You know, just my childhood was one of considerable anxiety because I felt really pretty overwhelmed by just all the stuff, all the dynamics in life. And so my whole life has been walking in one sense, the same path that we all walk. In another sense, walking through pretty much every phase, every aspect, having to face the same things everybody does. But with a sense, and this is what's driven me, and I think it's probably what's driven almost all of us who are here, with a sense of, ooh, I'm here for something. There's something bigger moving me, pushing me. So when I was a mere lad of 13 and a half years of age, the first inner voice that ever spoke to me showed up, and it was one of those big Moses voices, you know, Moses, that kind of thing. And it said, Bill, I want you to be my priest. And it said it more forcefully and authoritatively than that. And that, besides sending shudders through my body and scaring the heebie-jeebies out of me, whatever heebie-jeebies are, and I never have been clear about that, but it grabbed me. And so from that moment on, everything in me felt a calling. And so for a time, it was to be a Catholic priest, and I did that. And then it was to serve people through, many years of psychological approaches, and then much more powerfully than that through spiritual approaches. But just to pick out a couple little things, one thing I want to say is in the 4 years before I became a Catholic priest, I lived in Europe studying theology at a university in Belgium. And a remarkable thing happened to me there. It was one of those major turning points in my life. And I would just, to oversimplify it, call it love took me over, just love. And it was one of those dramatic times. I was, standing on this bridge in Paris over the River Seine. But instead of it being a romantic moment like it is in all the movies, it was one of those dark nights of the soul for me because everything had fallen apart for me. And European existentialism was big at that point, which basically says existence is absurd. So I was hanging out in that wonderful place. See, this is a real up talk, isn't it? And in the midst of this kind of depthy despair, I heard my heart, another inner voice, and my heart said, try me. And I said, what? Try me what? And my heart said, try love. And all of a sudden, just it all got put together in my head, in my awareness, in a way where it's like, oh my gosh, I've tried believing, I've tried all sorts of approaches, And all of a sudden, it was really clear to me, oh, what if I, like, totally gave my life to love? And so I did that. And it, you know, at that point, I was in a Christian tradition, a Catholic tradition, and it became really clear to me that, you know what, the essence of all religion is love. And I think the essence of humanity is love. And so the reason I'm picking out love is because I feel like the main reason we all choose to be human or take this remarkable spiritual giant self and cram it into a human form and body is so that we can play in love. So we can love, we can be loved, we can care, we can forgive, we can connect, we can unite, we can be intimate, we can do all sorts of, but love, just play in love. So I did that, and I made the brief time I was a Catholic priest after that all about love. And even when I left being a priest and I left the Catholic Church behind, I took love with me and then moved from there into psychology. And everything I did, all the way from my psychological practice, where basically I specialized in really deep, deep, deep psychotherapy, really the dealing with the tough stuff, if you will, of humanness. And I felt like what I did is I brought love into that, just going to love and finding love in the depths of every human being I was with. And then I discovered that the more I did that, the more love was the healer. Love was the empowerer. Love was the awakener, if you will. And so love was like huge to me. And then, I'll again make this a little brief, then I got swept into spirituality. It was it was one of those, again, remarkable things where a force way bigger than this little human self just took over and swept me up into spiritual realms. And as Diane said earlier, I'm really very much a mystic. And so I've been hanging out in divinity, in light, in grace, in the mystery, in spaciousness, in multidimensionality, all those spiritual mystical realms, if you will, and hanging out with the avatar quality of life. And it's and on the one hand, that's been just exquisite and beautiful. On the other hand, it's been really about love. And so at a certain point in all of that, again, another big voice. You think, just listening to me, my gosh, this guy, you know, he's got to be schizophrenic. He keeps hearing things in his head. Anyway, this other big voice.
No, I don't think you're crazy at all.
I'm just being cute. Or schizophrenic, one of the two, I'm not sure. Or both. But this big voice said, okay, Bill, now take this back into humanness. Take this back into the core and the depth of every human being. And so that's how I got to the ultimate human, because I've been given a lot of gifts, a lot of them being healing gifts of healing people's energies, if you will. So I knew the world of energy extremely well. Of course, psychologically, I knew the mental emotional world enormously well. I knew the spiritual world, is as real as the chair I'm sitting on. And I knew the consciousness world because, as a psychologist, I did a lot with the unconscious and the subconscious. And so I took love, pure, infinite love, into all these realms, and then especially focused on and specialized in the primal qualities of us, those lower chakras, those unexplainable human needs, urges, drives, etc., where our deepest pain and suffering and aloneness happen to live. And so I spent a lot of years there. And so to me, the ultimate human is somebody who is, and this I believe is every one of you that we're speaking to and with. I think we're all ultimate humans. So to me, the ultimate human that you are is you are this beautifully spiritual, enormously consciousness rich, consciousness, mind, subconscious, etc. This primally alive and this energetically expressive being. So these four worlds, the spirit, the consciousness, the primal, and the energy, are the worlds that make us up. And to me, an ultimate human is somebody who's willing to show up to all those facets of oneself, to show up fully to one's spiritual being, to show up to the depths and heights and breadths of one's consciousness. Third, to show up to all those places where theoretically the boogeyman lives, where the deep drives, the existential stuff of our being happens to live, and to inhabit all these places, to become the fullness that we are, and then of course to express all of that, live that, experience that in the full energies of our being. And when we do all that, when we're there, then what happens is love unifies all that, and we're this amazing self. And so I think a path of life, and every one of us here has been on a path of growth, if you will, but that path for us leads us to this enormously gorgeous space right in the middle of our own being, where all those worlds come together and they integrate within us, and all of a sudden everything that is lives right here. And that's pretty much my mission, and I think that's probably why I said yes to just being with us, just so we could all bathe in this amazing experience of being human together.
Well, you bring up such an important thing around love. So often I think, you know, we've lost that self-love for ourselves. We've separated somewhat from really, truly loving who we are and why we're here, and embracing all of the wonderful qualities that we have and the gifts that we have. And you mentioned about the voices, and, you know, our higher self talks to us all the time. Are we aware of it? Have we tuned it out? I know for many years I did. You know, I got in trouble for it as a child, so I cut it off at some point and said, oh, this is bad, you know, that's not normal, whatever. But it's the divine speaking through us, or to us through that higher self. And so paying attention to that voice is ultimately the best thing that you can do, in my opinion.
Yes, yes, beautifully said, Diane.
Yeah, so you have so many wonderful nuggets in what you just shared with the listeners. Can you just maybe help them understand if they haven't quite gotten who they are or what their gifts are, what would be a tip that you would share with them, how to embrace that, or how to open up, maybe is a better term to use, to who they truly are and be
mm-hmm.
conscious of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what a beautiful question. I think the reason I love the question so much, Diane, is because it's so central. I think a lot of us, you know, we're in a hurry to get to what our gifts are and what we're here to do, and to fulfill our purpose and mission, and to make a difference in the world. And it's easy for us, in a sense, to bypass what your question is about, and that is to bypass becoming a real, for example, a real servant to oneself as well as a servant to the world, or to get to know oneself deeply, fully, thoroughly, as completely as we get to know those that we serve. And so, yeah, I'd love to say a little something about that. And as I do, I'd love to invite all of us just to be in this together. One of the things I say to almost everybody I talk to, I'm sure they must be sick of it, is please take my words and consider them background music. Or, if you will, listen to my words with one ear, but with your better ear, kind of listen to your own truth, or listen to your own soul, or listen to your own heart, or wherever in you that truth tends to reside or speak from. Be there at least as much, if not more than you're with me. And And I think that begins to speak to what your question's about. So to me, what I would say in response to your question is, I think the best thing we can do, and I apologize for generalizing because we're all unique, but one of the best things we can do is we can go to that place or space within us where truth resides. Now, if I line up 10 people and I ask 10 people, where does truth reside in you? Where can you find your truth? I, for the most part, will get at least 9, but probably 10 different answers. For many, many, many of us, that truth resides in our heart. And so just the energy of the heart, and I don't mean the heart organ necessarily, but that heart center, that heart energy center, we go there and that's where we feel. And now, if you're a feeler, this will make sense. That's where we feel our truth. And that's where, if we just go and sort of sit there in our heart or just hang out in that space of the heart, then bit by bit, that truth begins to speak. But first, our heart will usually just want to love us. So if we're going in there for, okay, tell me, give me the message, our heart usually wants, first of all, to say, no, I want to first ground you here. I want to be with you here. Let's just sit here and have a spot of tea together. Let's enjoy each other. Let's swap stories. Let's just sit here. Let me hold you. Let me embrace you. Let me adore you. Let me remind you of this exquisite being that you were born to be. And then once your heart feels like, I've settled into just the essence of who I am, then your heart usually starts speaking to you about the important messages, if you will. So for some people, that place of truth is the heart. For other people, that place is very much what I call the soul. And for probably 10 years or so, my precious, beautiful life mate Donna and I started and operated a nonprofit organization called the Center for Soulful Living. And we've been gone from that a couple of years. Other people have taken that over, and it's a beautiful organization. So I got to be pretty much a spokesperson for soul for a long, long time. So soul, again, soul doesn't need a location in us. It's not into real estate with location, 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 because it's essence, and it doesn't need an energy center. But it usually speaks from somewhere. For some people, it does speak through the heart. For a number of people, our soul speaks through the body, and it's something we don't think of that often. But a lot of times, I'll be with talking to somebody, and I'll notice that their body is the source of truth. Their body is where there emanates, and the space from which there emanates the real truth, the real authentic wisdom, if you will. And so I oftentimes point that out to people and help them get in touch with their body or a particular facet of their body. And oftentimes, of course, bodies speak through symptoms. But through the symptoms, they have a mighty, mighty message to give us. So sometimes it's there. For other people, that truth is in our aura. It's just in the whole space in which we live. It's in that marvelous space and energy center that we are, or it could be anywhere. So back to your question, I think the first thing we can do is we go to the question, where do I find truth? And we just kind of go there, and that's very individual. You have to pretty much trust your instincts, trust yourself, trust your intuition, trust some kind of knowing or sense. Oh, it's in my heart. Then you go there, and this is sort of the Braille method, follow the breadcrumbs. And you go to your heart, just if it's your heart. You follow into your heart, and you just kind of feel your way in there. And you just kind of sense. You sense your heart, and you sense that truth. And you just hang out there, and then follow the lead of the truth. Because when we go to our real truth, our authentic truth, our unique truth, for the most part, it's not like reading a book. and we go there, it's in the context of a deep, deep, intimate relationship. And so again, as you're listening to this, if you can just kind of be there and feel into the relationship, like what is my relationship to my heart, if that's where you are or wherever else you are, and what's my relationship there, and how one am I feeling here, and does my heart feel like my friend, my partner? Does it feel like a facet of me that's just delicious and I love? Or, for example, oftentimes some people will say, well, no, I go there and it feels like foreign territory and I feel like it's whatever. So if that's the case, we want to just hang out there long enough. And so, again, if I go back to what I was first saying about love, I think everything is about love on this planet. And everything in our body is about love. Everything in our energy feels about love. Everything in our primal depths is about love. So everything in our source of truth is about love. And while we do lots of other things in this sort of computer age, in this age of intelligence, we do a lot of other things that are really about just getting the message and operating out of it. When it comes to the sacredness of you, the sacredness of this amazing being that you are, every connection you have with yourself, as much as you can, you want it to be about love. And you want to touch whatever in yourself, and you want whatever in you to touch you. So example, you go to your heart, and before you even ask questions about, what's up and what's the truth and what's the message, you connect and you bond and you care and you let yourself be cared about and you feel the connection, if you will. And then when that's done enough, the truth comes to you. You don't have to, like, go pushing for the truth. It just comes, and all of a sudden you have that message, or you have that thought, or you have that picture, or you have that memory, or you have that symbolic something that is right there, and you say, oh, just like that. So I think it's meant to be simple, gentle, loving, sweet, because we bring that sweet quality of love to it.
Oh, beautifully said. And I know for myself, the first time that I really started getting in touch with my heart center and getting back to my authentic truth and sitting and being in that heart center space and feeling it expand and envelop me in just pure love that I had somehow lost throughout a period of my life.
Sure.
It was so powerful, and you know, it almost, as my heart center expanded, it felt like it was going to burst out of my body. It was so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was the most wonderful experience that I had had in a long time.
Oh, I
and
bet.
So going and being in that heart center and just really getting in touch with your authentic truth is so vitally important for everyone on the planet that is here to, and we're all here to make a difference. Every single one of us are here to make a difference. But stepping into that and really being with who you are and being in touch with your own truth is so powerful. And you just brought up so many golden nuggets. So I want to encourage the listeners, if you're on Facebook, to go over to Authentic Clarity Coaching, like our page, leave us a comment about what you're taking away from Bill today. He's offered so many wonderful nuggets that I couldn't write fast enough here, so I myself am going to have to go back and listen. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at @DianeMarieAC for Authentic Clarity and tweet your nuggets to us. We'll be on those two social media sites, responding to you. So we'd love to hear your comments. So getting back to our conversation.
Just before you do that, I just want to say what a social media wizard you are. That's amazing. Congratulations. That's marvelous. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt too much. Go right ahead. I just couldn't resist.
It's the way of the times.
It is.
I struggle with it sometimes, but I'm learning. So, I have so many questions coming up that I'm trying to, like, sort through them and really ask which is in the highest and best interest of all the listeners here.
Yeah.
So you talked about, you know, really getting into the heart center, and I think that's an absolute necessary place to really tap into the inner gifts. What are your feelings about meditation? You know, do you recommend to your clients and to do meditation?
I don't usually recommend it, but that doesn't mean I don't think it's an absolutely amazing, wonderful thing. In fact, I used to teach a number of different kinds of meditations, though I don't do that anymore. Here's my sense, and then I'll say this and move right into meditation. My sense is that each of us has a way that we are uniquely put together, not just to access our truth, but to access or connect with or be one with life, with the divine, with the vast spiritual quality of life, with life itself, etc. And for some people, meditation is a not just a technique, not just a practice, but it's a powerful, powerful approach to that connection. And in fact, I would guess probably well over half the people that that find me, come to me, etc., for various things, very much are meditators. They do meditate. They have that as an extremely meaningful practice. And so the question I think that for each of us to ask is, what is it that really, really is my style of connection, of oneness, of higher awareness, or of whatever way we would finish that sentence for ourselves? What is my unique way? And I say that because, at least as I experience each and every one of us human beings, each one of us is our own universe. We're our own world. We are created totally uniquely. And I get that, you know, biochemically, biologically, we're all 99-point-some percent the same. But that less than 1% to me is huge. And the differences and the distinctions and the uniqueness are amazing. So to those who are really put together in a way where meditation is a beautiful, powerful, wonderful approach, I am like so there. Interestingly, I have sort of inherited, I guess I could leave out the word sort of, I've inherited a number of people from a number of spiritual traditions, who have been meditating daily for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, somebody the other day, 50 years. And many of them say, you know, it was meaningful up front, but really for a lot of years, it's not been meaningful, but I'm kind of afraid to stop. it's sort of like it doesn't seem to be doing much for me, but I'm afraid my life might fall apart if I stop it. So the reason I'm bringing that up is that even at various points in our life, sometimes meditation is powerful. Other times it's really not, and there's time to shift to some other things. Example, my precious wife Donna is a great meditator, but she is like, you hear the term walking meditation. For her to sit and meditate is, and there are a lot of people like that. It just doesn't really do anything. It just activates their mind and makes it tougher. So for her, she walks and meditates. Other people do art, and that's their meditation. For some people, it's inspirational reading, if you will, and just kind of mulling over those bits of wisdom in their mind. So I personally, I love meditating. I think meditating is one of the most grounding, centering, extremely peace-inducing ways that we can not only go to the core of our own being, but go to the core of the universe and go to the heart of infinity, if you will, just by sitting in this one special place. So it is absolutely beautiful. But my real, I think the real question that I would offer all of us to ask ourselves is sort of similar to what we were with about truth. Where can I find my truth? What is my style? And that to me, if I may beat up on that point a little bit, that I think one of the most important questions is, wow, I'm put together, created absolutely uniquely for everything to work in just a certain way for me, in me, through me, around me, and what is that? So to ask those questions up front and always, no matter what we're doing, keep asking the question is this a way that's genuine to me, authentic to me? Am I in integrity with the way I am designed, put together, engineered by the divine or by the source that created me? What is that? For some people, it's powerful for them to go into their right brain where they imagine, and I think I'm saying that because there's probably one of you who's in conversation with me here, who's there, just to the right brain, and let that imaging, that imagination, that space where we dream or daydream, let that take us to the heights. For other people, I know a number of people like this, to hang out in the body, because the body is an exact replica of the universe. Like you look at all those stars out in the universe. Well, all those stars are in our body. We call them photons or cells or atoms. And they have the exact same kind of activity. So each of us is a microcosmic expression of the entire universe or of all of creation, but we are our own universe. And so if I go back to astrophysicists today who basically say that there's not just one universe, there's a multiverse or there are many universes, each universe is different. And you are a universe that's absolutely unique to you. So if you go to yourself and say, how am I put together? And how is this self designed to soar into infinity? And if meditation comes up and that's it, yes. If you look at meditation and you get a ho-hum, the answer is probably no. What I'm basically saying is meditation is wonderful, more important up front is for us to know ourselves as much as we can and really accept, even though there's so many versions of truth out there, there's so many paradigms for living, there's so many belief systems about X, Y, or Z out there, each one of which having enormous value. But the real question again is, what's mine? And what am I made for? What truth lives in me? Like I said, for me, love. Love seems to be the beginning and the end, the alpha and omega of it all for me. But it could be something else for you, or it could be whatever. But whatever it is, knowing yourself is probably the most important thing. And then, if meditation is a part of that, wow, get on that horse and ride it, and it can take you to amazing heights.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Bill, that, you know, when we think about meditation, maybe we have just this very limited definition of what meditation is. And you brought up a great point. I'm very much like your lovely wife in that I do my meditation when I go out for walks. And mm-hmm. I'll walk in nature, and that's my meditation. Mm-hmm. Or in my morning shower. Standing there, great time for me to meditate and just quiet my mind and just, you know, let whatever is needing to come into me that day to just flow in. And so there's many different ways that we can really get in touch with our higher self, our inner truth. It doesn't have to be sitting in the corner of your room with a candle lit, or you know, an altar in your house, or anything else. It could be whatever feels mm-hmm. right for you. So yeah. What a great point to let people know, because I know a lot of people have difficulty sitting still and quieting their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, so I know that you have something special that you're going to do for everyone, but you also have a gift that you would like to offer the listeners as well. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you have for them?
Well, I thank you so much for asking. I would love to. That would be adorable. Yeah, I, you know, when I started thinking about, gee, what would I like to offer you? And then I have this marvelous assistant, Mona, and she and I talked about it. And what we came up with was that I wrote a book a few years back called Soul Vision. And I think the subtitle was something like A Modern Mystic Looks at Life Through the Eyes of the Soul. So this is my vision, looking at life through the eyes of the soul, of what life is about. And so it's got five chapters. The gift I'm giving you is chapter five. It's the icing on the cake chapter, if you will. And it's called Living the Vision. And so just briefly, the first chapter is all about what I call essence. It's like, oh, in the beginning there just was the essence of life itself, nothing there. Chapter two is light, and sort of let there be light. And so essence, or the divine, if you will, expressed as light. And then out of light came, the next chapter is energy. Became the whole world of energy, and energy is moving light, if you will, and this planet is energy, and everything on this planet is energy. The trees are energy, the animals are energy, we're energy. And then the next chapter, four, is about consciousness, because one facet of light and energy is our mind, superconscious, conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind, levels of the mind, all the ways we know and are aware. And then, so this chapter five that I just felt like putting in your lap, if you would like it, is a way of pulling all that together. And basically it says, you and I are enormously vast. We are so much bigger than we have taught ourselves or been taught to think ourselves to be. We are infinity itself, and we are the expansiveness of the universe. And again, all of that lives in us. And so chapter five is an invitation for each of us to step more fully into this amazing, remarkable self that we are. And in the whole book, I borrowed lots of quotes, I think about 250 quotes from various traditions, various people, philosophers, spiritual leaders, politicians, etc. Even George Carlin, the comedian, is in there. and so chapter five will have, on the sidebar, it'll have a number of quotes for you. But I lovingly and appreciatively gift you that and do it with the intention that it will in some way just inspire you to be so much more fully who you are.
Oh, wonderful. And I just want to tell everyone, if you're on the webcast, if you look up in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a little box that says Bill Bauman free gift offer. All you have to do is click on that. It will take you right to his website where you can get that free gift that he is offering. And if you're on the phone lines, we will be putting that link in the email that comes out shortly after Bill's interview here. So be watching in your inbox for that, and you can get his free gift by clicking on the link in the email as well. So I know you mentioned a little bit about maybe doing something special and taking the listeners through a little process, or you kind of mentioned it was a guided meditation, but maybe it's more of a process that you take people through.
Yeah, I think it's probably both of those, Diane, actually. And I would love to, if it works for all of you, I would love to, I'll say it this way, lead us in a bit of a guided meditative time together. But let me just say a little something else about it, if I may. It is a bit of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said absolutely, go ahead.
Oh, okay, yes. It is a process of sorts in that, I guess I'll say a little something about me, as though I have not said something about me already. I notice wherever I go, because so much of divinity and love and grace happens to hang out in the space I'm in, that there are a lot of blessings there. And the blessings happen a lot through, I think, what some people call transmission. In other words, they just happen. not directly by what I do, but they're just there. So with my words again in the background, again, listen to them to whatever degree, but really be with the way that your vast spirit is inviting itself into you, inviting you into it. Be with the way your vast spirit is gifting you in a certain way. And again, the gift will be absolutely unique and different for each and every one of us. So my words are going to be very much about, and I have to warn you about this ahead of time, very much about how exquisite you are. And I'm warning you about this simply because not everybody has a great tolerance for spending time with how wonderful they are. We seem to have marvelous tolerance for dealing with our limitations and our pains and our problems. I mean, we could stay there for hours and days, and not that we don't get tired of it, but we oftentimes get almost embarrassed and not feel worthy for really sitting in the middle of this absolutely beautiful creation that we are. So my words are going to be that. Be with them however you would like, but just know that, just like tangibly in the form of chapter 5 of my last book, I'm giving you that gift, that there's a gift that your own spirit wants to give you just in these next several moments. So if you just relax in whatever way you feel like relaxing, whatever makes you comfortable, maybe take a soft, deep breath in whatever way, just so that you just are. And it's okay if your mind is busy, and it's okay if your mind's not. I'll just invite your mind to just sort of let go. And let go into your spirit, because your spirit is in charge of these moments. You're beautiful, amazing, vast, endless spirit. That you that tangibly we call your soul, that you that spiritually embodies what we tend to call your God self, or that beautiful divine quality of you, your spirit, which is the source of your presence here on this earth. It was the instigating principle that moved you into taking on a body. Your spirit that lives not just above you and around you, but your spirit that lives in you and as you. Your spirit has a gift. And it's probably a gift that has a lot to do with love. Love. Your spirit loves you and is loving you now. Can you just let yourself be love? Just receive the embrace, the intimate touch, the beautiful arms wrapped around you by your awesome, amazing spirit. You know, you are that amazing spirit. Yes, you are human. You are body. You are emotion. You are energy. You are mind. And you are wonderful, beautiful, precious, adorable, magnificent spirit. You are the very same spirit that created the entire universe. You are the same spirit that created everybody in your life that you know. You are the spirit that in this very moment, arms wrapped around you, is adoring, loving, and embracing you, celebrating you. And if I happen to be in this moment the voice of your mighty spirit speaking to you, I would say to you something like this. I love you. I adore you. I put you together in exactly the way you are, not with deficits, even though you may have learned to interpret them as such, but I put you together as one of the most exquisitely divine beings you or I or anyone could ever imagine. Picture yourself as I see you, perfect, created perfect, created beautiful, created endlessly awesome, created like the divine itself, except wrapped up in the beautiful packaging called the body. Created as infinity itself, except wrapped up in the gorgeous packaging called your energy, your feelings, your emotions. Created as grace itself, but grace wrapped up in this unbelievably rich packaging called your consciousness, your awareness, your wisdom, your truth, your knowing. Created, you created as this totality of all life, of all creation, of every star in infinity, in the universe, in the multiverse. You created as everything, but wrapped up in the enormously gorgeous wrapping paper called yourself, the self. Look at yourself through my eyes. What do you see? Ah, do you see this gracious, beautiful, amazing you that I do? Do you see you the way I do? Do you see love personified? Love embodied? Love in the inner treasure chest of your being? Love as that treasure chest top is opened, just exuding its bright light into yourself? Do you see the miracle of life present in you, bringing forth your love and loveliness every minute of every day? I do. I see that. And every minute of every day, I celebrate you, honor you, and just adore you. Just like I would adore whatever we call God, Goddess, Divinity. Oh my, you are so, so exquisite, so amazingly beautiful. Be that. Be that. See it. Embrace it. Own it. Grasp it. Become it. Be. Be who you were created to be. And love yourself as I do. I'll never, ever, ever desert you. I never have, even though, because of where you've been looking, you've forgotten or not seen my sitting right next to you, my sitting in your heart or in your core or in your center or in your being or in your aura or in your head, or in your mind, or in your brain, or in your vast, vast spirit. I'm there. I'll never, ever, ever, ever desert you. Look for me, and what you will see when you find me is a mirror of a radiant you, a brilliant, dynamic, adorably rich you, a you that deserves everything, deserves love, deserves success, deserves happiness, deserves fullness, deserves richness, deserves whatever your soul calls you to. When you find me, you find the mirror of this lovable, deserving, worthy, amazing self, a self that soars through the universe every day, even if without noticing. A self who is present everywhere around the world, splashing your love, your blessing, as you wrap your invisible arms around every living creature, human and other, always blessing them with this unique, unique being that you are. When you look in that mirror, you'll see the you that is so special. The you that is so special. The you that has a gift. A gift that in this time is just being massaged in you. Just being amped up in you. Just being given a booster shot in you. Just being brought more alive in you so that you can play with, be in the fullness of this gift, because the gift is you. So how beautiful you are. Again, as I let go of these words and invite you in just a moment, perhaps to open your eyes and to be present back to this conversation, back to everyone who's with you here, may I leave you with these words. I love you. I always have, and I always, always will.
That was absolutely beautiful, Bill.
Thank you.
And what a wonderful way to help people really step into who they are, embrace who they are, love who they are, and really offer who they are to the world. And that's what this telesummit is all about, and you wrapped it up so beautifully there in that process, meditation, however you want to look at it. It was, my heart is just expanded with love right now.
Oh, thank you. Mine is too, Diane.
I am just so very grateful for you. I want to thank you so much for saying yes to this telesummit, bringing you and your gifts to the listeners here. And I want to thank all of the people who are on the call, have been on the telesummit. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us, to really empower yourself to step more fully into that beautiful, beautiful spiritual being you are here to be, that you fully embrace it, love yourself, and really just step into your message. You have a beautiful one. I know you do. We all do. So thank you again. I want to just wish you many blessings today and always. And again, thank Bill for the time he has spent with us. And with that, we will say goodbye for right now.
Yes. is. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so, so, so much.